listening to the Big Blue Podcast. I am Greg Stone, Associate Vice President of Academic and Campus Operations, and with me is our President, Dr. Lee Goodson. Good morning, Dr. Goodson.
Good morning, Dr. Stone. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Excited today to talk about a new space we have on one of our campuses and a fairly new program with Dr. Travis White, Dean of the School of Business and IT. Travis, welcome.
Hi, good morning. Great to be here with you, Dr. Stone.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming in. So before we get into the details of the new cybersecurity lab and the new degree program, let's just sort of back up a little bit and talk about cybersecurity in Tulsa. People who have watched the news, have read the paper in the last few years, probably know that there's a lot of energy around the cybersecurity industry in the Tulsa region. Can you sort of talk to us a little bit about the needs of that workforce landscape and how these new programs are helping to support those needs?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of energy, enthusiasm, and even fervor around cybersecurity and technology-related disciplines in our workforce and across the country. I'm always delighted to have the opportunity to share a little bit about the great work that we're doing within the School of Business and Technology, Information Technology. We have a number of programs within our school, and cybersecurity is the newest and among them, and we're delighted and thrilled to add that to our offerings that we have at the college and in the School of Business and Information Technology. I think it's, to your point, important to back up when we talk about cybersecurity. And just as a non-practitioner, I'm very fortunate to have subject matter experts that can get very deep into the, perhaps in another podcast, the technical aspects of cybersecurity. But as a non-practitioner, I think it's important to contemplate cybersecurity as, at its core, is the protection of data and information that is stored on networks. And we're protecting it from unauthorized access, use, or other such intrusions. And that, at its core, is what cybersecurity is. And Tulsa, like most other communities across the country, is seeing an imbalance between the demand for the skill set to ensure that security and that protection of data and protection of those networks and the supply of workers that are either entering into the workforce or that are currently in the workforce and need to upskill in those areas. And Tulsa is no exception. And we certainly have Tulsa as a city and within the region has aspirations of growing and becoming a center for technology and becoming a tech hub in a number of fields. And cybersecurity will only continue to grow of importance in that landscape.
And just as a quick follow-up, too, I would assume, and maybe I'm way off base because I'm not at all a practitioner other than, you know, occasionally changing my password, you know.
That's which is a good practice. It's congratulations, good practice, Dr. Stone.
Right? But, I would assume that because the technology changes so quickly and because the nature of the threats change so quickly, that ability to skill up or to continue probably is really fast.
It evolving at an ever increasing rate. Yeah. And I'm glad you say that. I actually had a note to make sure to comment on the importance of how that's changing and how, you know, those intrusion attempts are becoming ever more increasingly sophisticated. And as that sophistication increases with a variety of tools that are available, we hear a lot about artificial intelligence. Perhaps again another episode for the podcast, but those tools can be used for reasons that we would prefer that they not be. But we can also leverage those tools, those skills, those assets, so that we can develop those skills to protect against and meet and ultimately exceed the skill set of those that are attempting those intrusions. And that's, among other things, one of the aspects of this program, the cybersecurity degree program that we launched in the fall that we hope to be sure to incorporate so that our learners, as they graduate and enter into the workforce or potentially transfer on for further education, have that knowledge, skill, and ability to be able to be successful in the Tulsa and region as they enter into technology or other space. You know, just one quick sidebar. We talk a lot about cybersecurity and where folks are headed, and we might envision them entering into a cybersecurity field in a high-rise at a corporate headquarters, you know, locked down in a secure green screen environment. And in reality, we're all, you know, that core definition I talked about earlier, we're all engaged in cybersecurity, and the expectation will continue to only be more an ever-increasingly pluralistic in all that we do, regardless of our enterprise, including in education.
You mentioned last fall when we opened the Cybersecurity Associates Program in fall of 23, and there's a pretty long process that has to take place in order to get programs approved by the state regents and for it to be in our inventory and start recruiting and bring in a class. Tell us a little bit about that process and what went into that.
I'd love to, and my doctoral background is in curriculum studies, so we could do we have a full hour? We could do an hour on this. I'm told no, so I'll make it much quicker. You know, jokes aside, that's one of the favorite aspects of this position is developing content and curriculum and not doing it alone. So Dr. Goodson, to your point, this was a multifaceted, multidisciplinary effort, and we incorporated stakeholders from across the spectrum, not just within TCC, but outside of the college, and not just in higher education. We wanted to make sure that industry experts were involved in this. And so from the word go, myself and Dr. Ted Ward is the director, the program director of the cybersecurity degree program. We worked in lockstep in first identifying who those stakeholders might be and recruiting them and helping us in the development of that curriculum and ensuring that our curriculum are at the course level, at the, you know, maybe not down to the lesson, but certainly down to the course and programmatic level addressed the needs of today and tomorrow and left opportunity for growth in the field. And so whether it was we had everyone from librarians to advisors to folks in industry, we've had folks from a number of our university partners. And it's no easy hurdle. It was a over year-long process. We started from the outset to make sure that our content was aligned with the, and this is a bit of an alphabet soup here, but NSA's, the National Security Agency's Center of Academic Excellence in Cyber Defense. I've practiced that multiple times, and I've yet to be able to deliver it without pausing. But the CAECD is basically a designation. It's not any different than or any less rigorous than an accreditation. And it's something that when you start a new program, it's much more easily facilitated to begin with that end in mind. It's a 3 to 5 year process to even begin to apply. And so we're well positioned, you know, here in a couple of years. Hopefully we'll be back on the podcast, among other things, to announce the fact that we've earned that designation. But that was just you know, part of that process. In terms of the logistics of it, it goes through, we have a shared governance system within Tulsa Community College. And we pass through an Academic Affairs Council vote, and then from there internally, it goes to the state regents, as Dr. Goodson mentioned, for review and approval. And our peer institutions, as well as our partners, have the opportunity to look at that proposal. They can ask questions. They can even object. Fortunately, we have a very good collaborative partnership and relationship with our peer institution and with our partners that there certainly weren't any objections, but only encouragement to pursue that degree. And so, yes, Dr. Goodson, a very laborious process, but an enjoyable one.
And in February, too, the college hosted the grand opening for the new cybersecurity lab at Southeast, which supports this program, all of our programs. Can you talk a little bit about the features of that space? I've seen it. We've all seen it. It's really cool. It's fantastic. But tell us a little bit about that space and what it's for.
The challenge of describing a physical space over radio, I'll do my best. But, and I think I'll shift to pure layperson's terms. It is one of the neatest spaces in the college. It's not large in terms of its footprint. It is very large in terms of its capital investment and infrastructure. I shudder to think of the dollar per square footage amount, but a very good investment in a showcase of not just cybersecurity, but our commitment to an investment in not just technology, but in our students, in having the technology and the tools and resources that they need, and to be able to demonstrate to prospective students and to members of the community that we are committed to having state-of-the-art equipment as a community college for our learners to learn on. You hear the term data center, so someone might think of that as a server or server room. It's even been called a server closet. We went the exact opposite approach, and we made it a very large class encased with a learning collaborative environment space. We wanted it to look a little bit like, you know, some of the big tech companies' sort of headquarters feel that you walk into, and I think it very much has that. And one key piece that I'll close with in kind of describing it, that data center, again, is glassed in for all to see. That was very intentional by design, is adjacent to two adjoining classrooms in cybersecurity or other technology-related disciplines. Students, when they enter in every day into that classroom that they have class, they will see the physical infrastructure and that investment that underpins the networks that they're securing and working with.
You mentioned the cost. It's a significant investment by the college and some of our other financial resources. Tell us how was the new lab designed? You've talked about that for just a little bit already. I mean, with collaboration, and you've described it. But talk to us about the funding.
Yeah. So this was from concept to completion for a 4-year process, and that puts us squarely in the middle of the pandemic. So the pajama wearing lockdown Zoom meetings environment back to the reality that we're very fortunate and happy mm-hmm. to be back in today. But again, a multi-stakeholder effort. We were fortunate to have the support and expertise of an architectural firm, GH2, who really understood our vision. We're very fortunate to partner with, through competitive bid process, a construction firm that took the level of and attention to detail to the level that we expected for, even though it's a small space, and they really, really delivered on that. And then lastly, we're very fortunate to partner with Pinnacle Business Systems, who is, and I actually had the opportunity to chat with and connect with folks at Dell through Dell's headquarters, and that's actually who they recommended. So they came very highly recommended, and they designed a very, not just, from my perspective as a non-practitioner, a very attractive space, but also a very highly functional, scalable, and practical space. Funding for this came through multiple sources. I got used to the word no. Until I got to yes on a number of fronts, and at a cost of nearly $1.2 million, that's a sizable investment again per square foot. So multiple sources were involved. I mentioned the pandemic era lockdown and those things. There were higher education relief funds through federal dollars that were made available, as well as and I'm very fortunate or very very happy to see the legislature's commitment to STEM education in the state, and we were earmarked a certain amount of funding that we were able to allocate to a number of projects, including this, from those legislature dedicated dollars, as well as a very small amount. We took every dollar counts. It all adds up. A small amount that came from a different, another project that we had the opportunity to be a part of through the American Association of Community Colleges and our Artificial Intelligence Incubator Network work, there a small grant that helped support that as well.
Just as we wrap up in the next minute or so, can you just remind everybody where our cybersecurity students are going in terms of transferring?
Yeah, so we want to meet students where they are and where they're going, and we want to be pluralistic in that approach because our students are diverse, and so too must we be in our approach to meeting them where they are and making sure they get where they're going. We have opportunities for students that want to, maybe aren't ready to commit to a full 2-year degree. They can pursue a certificate that's as short as a single semester. It's an intensive program and end with a secure infrastructure specialist certificate that entails industry-recognized credentials. But we also have at our core is our associate degree of applied science in cybersecurity. And that's for students that are able to commit to a 2-year degree program and then enter directly into the workforce. There are folks that might be able to upskill that are currently working in a field, a technology-related field, that can pursue that degree. And then we also have our a core we have had for years, our computer science degrees, computer information systems, and opportunities to transfer to a number of institutions within the city, the state, and even the region. Most recently, I do want to mention our partners at OUPI, OU's Polytechnic Institute. They have developed the region's only public offering at in a bachelor's degree in cybersecurity, and we're excited to have an articulation degree with them for students that want to continue on to a bachelor's degree in cybersecurity.
Dr. Travis White, thank you so much for talking with us today, the Dean of the School of Business and Information Technology, about our new cybersecurity lab. Thank you so much for being with us today. You've been listening to the Big Blue Podcast. Dr. Stone, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Goodson.
All right. Have a great day.